Morning, church. Right, this is, I'm totally out of my comfort zone, this morning, so, but this is for the glory of God. Reiterate what Steve said. This is for God. Okay. Hallelujah. Right, could you, who's got Bibles? Could you turn to Exodus 3, please? Who hasn't got Bibles, perhaps you could share. Exodus 3, and it's verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, as he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses said that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses answered, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you, that is, to you who have sent me. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, I suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take the three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord of our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you will leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor, and every woman living in her house, for articles of silver and gold, and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. What I'm saying this morning is, are you paying attention to the burning bush that God has sent us? God has sent us a message. Are we paying attention to this? You know, it says, did you receive my message? We live in a technological age. Did you get my email? We receive messages every day, either from friends, work colleagues, or businesses. We don't always react to them or get back to them. I don't think they're that important. I'm busy. I forget to. But imagine if you had a message from God that we ignore or miss. Can you imagine how God feels when this happens? I believe he sends us messages in the quiet hours. He certainly asked me with this sermon. I prayed about what to speak about. And I speak for days, nothing. And early hours of Monday morning, he woke me up and he told me, which is what you might can show you. Yes, so this is what I brought to you. It's from the heart. When we are resting or in bed, he certainly has me. I can be troubled by something or worried. I need uplifting or encouraging, as we all do sometimes. As I read earlier, Moses received a message from God from within the burning bush. Not just a burning bush, but one that fire wasn't consuming. Okay, he's got Moses' attention, and he goes to investigate. The Bible tells us that Moses is intrigued and moves closer. This is when he hears a voice. Moses, Moses, he cries. Exodus 3:4. I wonder what his thoughts were. He looks around, no one there. Again, Moses, Moses. So he answers, here I am. I wonder if he thought of the consequences of staying to check to see what the voice was. But people of faith and passion rarely count the consequences. They just move forward. If he realized what was expected of him, he'd have run. But we all know we can't run from God. I tried. It didn't work. Jonah tried. And look where that got him. In the belly of the whale. Now put yourselves in Moses' place. He just escaped barely his life from Egypt. And God wanted him to go back. Has anyone heard a call from someone to go far beyond what expected of him? The usual pattern of life that takes you out of your comfort zone, which is me this morning. Where we like to be, safe. Yeah. As he moved closer, the voice commanded him to remove his sandals as he was standing on holy ground. It was at that moment he knew it was the Lord who spoke to him and covered his face, for he was afraid to look at him, to be in his presence. I also believe that the burning bush represented Israel. The fire, the persecution, the burning without consumption meant that in spite of the persecution of Israel, even up until present day, they will not be destroyed. The Lord said, come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring the people out of the captivity. So that's the message. Thanks, I'm busy that day. No, I'm okay. I'm just a shepherd, not a warrior. Send someone else. Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Exodus 3:11. Moses proclaims, God, who am I? Earlier, he said, I am here. God turns the who am I into, in setting weakness, into I am who I am. Tell him, I am, I sent you. Exodus 3:14. Moses' life has been suddenly changed. So what is God's message for us as a church today? What message can we take from this encounter? It seems to me that there are two major themes. No matter what God has called us to do or to endure, trusting him, too, he will be with us through it all. What we lack, he will provide. Trust in his provision. Are you paying attention to the burning bush God has placed in your path? They are God's way of tapping us on the shoulder until we take notice. With message from God, when I was just became a Christian a couple of weeks, and I was walking the dog in Beaufort, and we were sent to evangelize. And I came across a lady here from nowhere, and she was walking her dog. We chatted, and she was in a bad place. And she relayed to me her life story, and it was awful. It really was, you know. And she was looking for something. She really was, and I didn't take up on that. Boldness, again, boldness. You know, I wasn't bold enough in a Christian for a couple of weeks, and I missed that opportunity to reach out and touch her and tell what love the God they'd found. It's easy to do, but there you are. Now, what tools do we need to respond to God's message? I'd like to take three answers from this. Again, I think boldness is one, to step out in faith. God is never wrong. Noah did, building that ark. When people scorned him and his family, but he still went ahead, ridiculed him. I struggle with boldness, I admit that. I was in Crickhowell, Penny, I was in Penny's, meeting in Penny's. There's quite a few of us there, and was a lovely, lovely lady, sadly missed. And I saw a vision. I was walking through a country lane, and I was aware of my surroundings. I could hear people talking, but I was taken to this country lane. I was walking through a country lane, and there was cows, herds of cows, coming towards me. And I could have turned round and gone, but I didn't. I felt the Lord saying, "No, push through. You need to push through." And these cows, there was no gap. There was no just. And I pushed and pushed. It took ages. They were frightening because they really were the huge cows. I pushed my way through through these cows. And in the end, I came to a field, a meadow, a beautiful, beautiful meadow. And I was still, I could hear these people talking, but I was there. And I could hear bunting flapping in the wind. I felt as if I'd got done. I felt as if I'd pushed through, you know. What the Lord wants us to do is to run the race, you know, and just keep pushing through. So what we all need to do, guys. It's so hard sometimes. With me, I've gone, I've had upset, as you know, and it's difficult. It's difficult. And we just need to push through. And I just thought, anyway. Right, let's finish this. Right, there we are. Right. Sorry, where am I by? And thirdly, above all, I believe, is love. Love one another. Mark 12:31. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. As in Corinthians 13:1. The word love appears 310 times in the King James Bible. God is love, and has demonstrated that love in everything that he does. Paul compares faith, hope, and love, concludes that the greatest of these is love. Corinthians. Thank you. It was short, but from the heart. Thank you.